B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Let me take you to McDonald's under the light. Let me take you to McDonald's, money in my pocket. Let me take you to McDonald's, take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to McDonald's, take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to McDonald's, I know you like it. Let me take you to McDonald's, money in my pocket. Let me take you to McDonald's, take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to McDonald's, take you to McDonald's. I get the best deals. Today is Sunday, you're missing all the happy meals. I gotta eat good and you know I will. I got the best burger and you know I'm the king. Chips on the side with the fries and a drink. Let me add tomato sauce, it feel good and a thing. I'ma be honest, if I take you out, that would be McDonald's. I got the McChicken, taste good like heaven, huh? I'm waiting for the second one, soda on the side. I'm feeling like a number one, what you know about Mac? Let me help you with that, what you know about Mac? Let me come and bite that. Let me take you to McDonald's, I know you like it. Let me take you to McDonald's, money in my pocket. Let me take you to McDonald's, take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to McDonald's, take you to McDonald's.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Kutcher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. I think I have my wife's pants on tonight.
Oh, really?
Huh. Because the way things work in my house is that the there's only one closet in the bedroom, so there's a my wife puts all the sweat stuff in the winter up on top of my dresser, and I think she mistakenly put her sweatpants up there, and then I put them on, and they're very short on me, and I just didn't feel like changing them.
So where's the bottom of the pants? Are they kind of like mid calf?
Let's see.
I mean, she's. Oh, that's not bad.
I would actually never know that those were not yours.
Yeah, I mean, she's 5'10".
Yeah, I mean, but she's very tall, but I mean, it doesn't seem anything gratuitous. It's like a flood or anything like that.
Yeah, well, listen, my children have gotten into Saved by the Bell. Have your children gotten into Saved by the Bell? I suggest they get into Saved by the Bell.
They've seen it and had no interest.
Oh, no. Because I made them watch... Running Zach.
Sure.
Which we've already analyzed, where Zach finds out that he has Native American roots by finding a picture in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chief tells him that he was Running Zach, and then he goes in and makes a 3-minute presentation and everyone explodes. Well, last night, this show's unbelievable. So Belding's brother comes in.
Oh, I remember this one.
And he's like,
is this the rafting trip?
Yeah. And he's super cool. How did you never see these, Rich?
I just, because when were they on?
Saturday mornings.
I know, see, but they've been in reruns for, they could be at any reruns. Time, at any place.
But we were like in high school when they were on, right?
We were there.
Or college? Yeah, okay.
No.
Because 92&0 was college.
No, okay, so here's the deal. I graduated high school in 93, Saved by the Bell, and the Saved by the Bell and 90210 graduated in 93. So I was the same class as both those shows.
Okay.
So here comes Mr. Bell.
Okay, real quick. How does John know then?
Because they were just on.
Because you were like 45 when they came out.
But listen, when you're in radio, you work all kinds of weird hours. You just flip on the TV late at night, and there it is. Saved by the Bell could be on at any given time, at any given place, on any given channel.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it.
Of course you do.
I mean, what are you going to watch?
Ask anybody. It's on, and you hear the song. You're like, yeah, I'll watch a little bit.
Yeah, it's not like you got to pay attention to it. It's only recently I've been paying attention to it.
There's very few shows that I've watched like entire seasons of bad television. Like there's been an episode or two I've seen of bad television. I'm like, okay, fine. But like you guys like watch the entire thing. But
there's my favorite is Zach's job on the beach with the falls in love with Stacey Carosi. I mean, that was the wheelhouse right there.
Yeah, that was when they were like, we're making a whole Tartikoff was like, we're making a whole mess of these.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm going to do this periodically, so I'm just going to warn you right now. Because now I'm watching with a more critical eye. I used to just sit there and gaze at the TV. And because remember, there was at this time, there's like HBO, which I didn't get. Mm-hmm. And then there was like TBS. Like I watched all of Brotherly Love, which was the Joey Lawrence brothers show.
Sure.
That was on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And I just would sit there and stare at it because I worked nights. And I'd get up at like 12:30 and it was on.
Yeah.
So Mr. Belding needs a substitute teacher. So he goes like, here's my brother. Now, his brother comes in and he is cool. And you know he's cool because he's got long blonde hair.
Okay.
So he goes like, he's like, take your tests. And he's like, oh, we're going to take a test. And he has him rip up the test and throw it in the air. And then he goes, he's watching the ball game. There's the Dodgers game and he's got Zach and Screech in the office. And then he goes, Zach goes, I'm going to play principal. And he goes, all the pretty girls, and he grabs the BA system. And he goes, all the pretty girls come down to the principal's office right now for chips and dips. So this whole wave of hot chicks is going to come in.
Chips and dips.
Yeah. And then, and Screech like goes, all right, well, I can do a good Belding impression. He's like, hey, Mr. Belding. So they're sitting there watching the Dodger game and just hanging out in the principal's office. And for I don't know why this guy wants to be friends with him so bad. But then the guy's like, hey, you're going to take the class trip to Yosemite. Like, that's boring. Like, all you're going to do is look at the stars and stuff. He's like, I want to take you on a rafting trip. So they're like, oh, yeah, rafting trip. And so Screech, Lisa, and the gang, just those five people, six people, go into the office to speak for the entire school. And they say, hey, Mr. Belding, like, you suck. We want to go on this rafting trip with your cool brother. Mr. Belding, you know, it hurts his feelings a little bit, but he's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to practice the rafting, and they're on this raft, and he's making it go up and down. He goes, now I'm going to teach you guys something. And he goes, Slater, you and Jesse, Zach, you and Kelly. Now, Jesse, you lay down, and Kelly, you lay down, and pinch their nose, and so they're like, Zach and Slater look at each other like, well, yeah, we're going to get some ass. And they go down, and Mr. Belding walks in. He goes, what's going on? And he goes, oh, no, I'm just teaching him CPR. He goes, it looks like they were making out. So the whole idea is this guy's so cool. He goes, hey, kids, here's an excuse for Zach and Slater to get some little tongue action.
It's pretty creepy.
Yeah. He's like, he's gonna kiss you. And then
the good old creepy principal, creepy teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously when it comes time for the trip, Zach goes looking for his hero, which is Mr. Belding's brother, and then Mr. Belding's brother's like, okay, he's like, just make an excuse for me, I can't go on the trip. Would there be any guess what the wild brother, I'll give you a hint, okay? So he had met a woman,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to go out with her. Okay, remember this is a children's TV show.
Okay.
Any guess of the profession of the hot-to-trot woman that he that he wanted to go out with. She was only going to be in town for a while.
Okay. Only in town for a while. She is a disco dancer?
No.
Is it something like that?
No. There's a kid's show.
Okay.
It's like the lamest. Do you know, John?
No, I don't remember.
It's like the lamest like thing. Like she's a hot. Her name's like Olga. And she's a like a hot.
Oh, Dan actually had a stewardess.
Yeah, she's a stewardess. Yeah. He's like, you should see her. She's a 10. And he goes, you want me to tell these kids that you can't come in because of some stewardess? And Zach's sitting there with his arms crossed, and he hears it all. And then so out goes the guy, and then Mr. Belding goes, all right, well, we can just go on the trip to Yosemite. And then
that's the end of it.
No, and then Zach's like, under the stars with Kelly snuggling, because that sounds okay to me. Because what you want when you're like 15 is to snuggle.
Did you ever have cool guy teacher in real life?
Yes.
You had cool guy teacher?
Eighth grade.
No. All right. What kind of embarrassing thing did he do to try to prove that he was cool guy teacher?
He had the long hair, you know. And this is middle school, man. He social studies, Mr. Robinson. And he had long hair like down past his shoulders and wore like cowboy boots in the winter in, you know, Boston with like 10 inches of snow outside. He'd walk in there and he had a leather vest.
Okay.
Cool guy, social studies teacher, Mr. Robinson.
There was an assistant principal that was at my school, and one time the student council was going to go on this one-day retreat to this lake down the road, and we're all to meet at the school, and they were going to take this bus together. So we're all about to get on the bus, and the assistant principal, who's this guy who, I mean, he looks like Dwight Schrute, and he would wear like a walkie-talkie in his belt like that. He came up to me and goes, hey, Rich, don't get on that bus. Why don't you ride with me? I got some good tunes.
You win.
Okay. Now, all my friends are going on this bus. And I'm like,
but, I mean, they can't listen to tunes.
They can't listen to tunes on the bus. So we get into his, like, kind of, like, cruddy LeBaron. Jeep Cherokee. And we sit down there, and he goes, hey, man, just put in whatever you want. I got some Metallica. It's like the Black Album. He's got a little Halen. And it's like OU812 by Van Halen. And I said, I don't know. You pick. And he puts it in, and it's Enter Sandman. And I'm just like, this is the worst. Yeah. And we pull off and we're following the bus, and he's just talking about rock and roll the whole way. He goes, you like rock and roll? I'm like, dude, I love rock and roll.
Yeah. You like rock and roll?
I thought that might go in another direction. No, come closer, canteen boy.
I don't know if it was a canteen boy situation.
No. He was trying to relate to you. He probably knew that you were like in a band.
He did.
And he was just like, dude, I ain't no you know, air supply guy. I mean, I have rock and roll tapes.
He's the same guy that pulled that April Fool's Day prank on me that made me almost cry. It was like the most insane. I was about to get suspended and miss graduation. So he brings me to his office one day, and he goes, hey, Rich, we did a sweep of all the lockers here, and we found something in your locker. And I'm like, oh, what'd you find? And he takes out a bottle of Jack Daniels and puts it on his desk. And I went, man, I don't know whose that is. That was not in my locker. That's not there. And he goes, do you understand that this is a 3-month suspension, which means you would miss graduation? And he's being dead serious. He's looking at me, and I'm like, dude, I swear to God that's not mine. Somebody put that in, and he let me squirm for like a good, it felt like 5 minutes, but it was probably like a minute. And I'm sitting there freaking out. And finally he goes, Rich, what day is it? And I said, it's Thursday. And he goes, no, like what day of the month? And I said, it's April 1st. And all of a sudden I hear all these people like behind like me laughing. And I turn around and he goes, April Fool's Day. And I'm like, you effing a-hole. Mm. I swear to God, if that happened today, do you realize that would like make the news?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be something that would make the news. The guy would be like fired. I'm like, all right, cool guy.
All right. Dan, go ahead.
Fred, I don't get you. Like, your jokes, like, you just dragged the entire audience through a really bad story of a really bad show. Thank God you have Rich. Like, what was the joke?
Like, you're like Pete Stonebreaker. The tallest nerd at Payside.
No, again.
That's like you. All right, Ox. Just because you can't follow.
That don't get this.
That's just because you can't follow it. Don't worry about it. I mean, me and John know what, and we're just teaching Rich.
No, thank God Rich is bailing you out. The shows you grew up watching are incredibly stupid. That's why they're not on TV anymore.
Oh, they're on TV, baby. That's where you're wrong.
Yeah, those are never going
those
away.
Those are never going away.
Nope.
I'm calling you Big Pete Stonebreaker.
I mean,
one of the tallest nerds at Bayside.
Big Pete Stonebreaker.
You made your first appearance during the Malibu Sands episode.
Don't know what you're saying.
Well, that's, I'm telling
that
you.
That inherently is your problem.
You're the leader amongst the nerds.
All right,
I'm telling you, Big Pete Stonebreaker.
Now I got to Google Big Pete Stone.
Well, I did. No, I just knew that off the top of my head. All right, Dan. Well, obviously, you don't know about the finer things.
Somebody said I had a substitute that would only respond to Sir Joe.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
That's the best. Remember we knew somebody who wanted to be called Sir Kyle?
Don't get me started on that.
He had like a full knight's thing in his house.
All right.
Like the armor of a knight.
All right. I'm going to tell the story. All right. Let's break. And before we get to the sports, I'll tell you the story. The full story of Sir Kyle.
Sir Kyle of Kennesaw.
All right. We'll be right back.
Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What are you having last night?
All right, if you're on hold with a teacher story, or you want to hear the tales of Sir Kyle, tune back in at 8 o'clock and we will go explore these things.
Yep, more calls and more people chiming in than I thought, so I was like,
call back in at 8 because we have to do what happened last night.
That's right.
Here we go.
Well, nothing like a little new blood to get a team back on track.
On near point, Lauzon fires, he scores! Jeremy Lauzon, a blast that rocketed just under the crossbar. He drilled it from the near point, and the Bruins have tied the Golden Knights in one.
22-year-old Jeremy Lauzon, brought up from the AHL, helped the Bruins get their 2 points against the Golden Knights last night, 3-2 the final score. Lauzon has scored twice in his 18 NHL games and both times against the Golden Knights. Got pretty good luck there. And I'm telling you, maybe we never have this next guy on the show again because the TNR bump is now on Bizarro time.
Halak will bat it up right wing and out. Coyle leads to DeBrusque, far circle, shoots, he scores!
Jake DeBrusque, a man on fire ever since he was last on the show, which I think is going on about 3 weeks, I believe. A top shelf.
Not today either.
Yeah, so he's not. Well, because they're about to start that big long break. So, they are.
And then not next week either.
Nope. Won't be for a while. So, I read some weird stat yesterday that when the team wins something absurd, like 85% of the games when DeBrusque scores this season. It's like something crazy in the mid-80s if he scores
because
a goal.
Because they get secondary scoring, which never happens.
It's true. You can always depend on the guys in the first line. But then after that, you know you're having a good game when anybody else scores.
Literally anyone else.
It's true, including this guy.
Heinen up top for Carlo. Shoots, deflected, off the post. Krejci scores!
How about that?
That was pretty nifty because he deflected the puck, then he got caught up in the goalie, and he was able to stick with it and put it up there in the old Netaruski.
Nice physical game too. It was good. I like this. I like these Bruins that have been playing.
I've been calling them the Olivia Newton Johns for the last week
because they're getting physical.
That's right, baby.
All right. Well, a rare win without even one goal from the perfection line. Halak 27.
I'm going to piss off so many listeners today. I'm just going to do the corniest crap.
It's as if you have something
next
on your mind.
Next time.
Halak.
Yeah. Next time Rich is gone, I might just go complete Saved by the Bell. John would love it.
I would. I think that'd be great.
I mean, listen,
we get so many calls. Fred, you suck. That would be fantastic.
You take a brief break for 15 minutes to go 90210, and then back
I'm all for that. Well, yeah. Don't tempt me.
Yeah,
don't tease me.
I mean, we could do that the next day. You're gone.
That's fine. Well, Halak, 27 saves and the win as well. Here is Jumer Lozon, 22 years old, took care of business last night.
I feel way more comfortable on Yates. My confidence is really high right now, so I just try to bring the game I was playing down in Providence up here. I think I did a good job.
I watched him do his post-game interview on Nesson, and he's every bit wet behind the ears. I mean, his interview, I think most of the questions ended with, and that was it. He would just, like, fade off. Like, not very experienced in front of a microphone.
No one ever wants to talk to him. I think he had one goal in the AHL 2 years ago. He had one goal last year. He has one goal this year. But every time he comes up here, he scores.
Yeah, he does well. So, hopefully it's a little bit of a spark that they might need. Bruce Cassidy was asked about Jumer Lozon's night and what it meant for him as well.
I thought he played hard. Competes all over the ice. We've seen that before, so we expected that. Scores a goal, obviously in a one-goal game, that matters, and did it the right way. You know, he didn't overthink it, trying to instill that attitude in some of our other guys. And, you know, Brandon gets one later and gets it through, so hopefully it kind of snowballs that part of our game. But I liked his game. I thought he brought what we needed.
Mm-hmm. So now the Bruins, they get that nice long break where they don't have to be back till a week from Friday when they take on the Winnipeg Jets.
So I take it Rask is not in the All-Star game.
I would bet that's the case. I mean, I haven't looked specifically to see if they've replaced him. But
he bagged out, saying that he did not want he had already turned down the offer, and then they said you were going to be suspended for one game if you did that. And he went to the Bruins and said, I'm not playing in the All-Star game. So the Winnipeg game, he was not going to play. I don't know if that changes now that he's in concussion protocol.
There's no way they can punish him if he's in concussion protocol.
I don't know. He already jumped the gun.
He did jump the gun and said he was going away on vacation. He did not want to go to the All-Star game.
Boy, that's and Bergeron, who I don't blame, is like, don't vote for me for the All-Star game.
Yeah, good, good. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
But you got a captain out there, though. You got Pasternak.
Mm-hmm. Pasternak's a young buck. Mm-hmm. He can handle it.
He can handle the workload. So
when is this All-Star game you speak of?
This weekend.
This weekend.
In St. Louis.
Well, set the alarms.
Skills competition's cool. I don't mind that.
Like, skills competition's cool if you can find it.
Yeah, that is true. Like, how many times have you been flipping the TV and go, oh, I forgot this was on?
So skills competition is fastest skater where you just go around the ice really fast.
Oh, there's a million things.
There's target practice. Ray Bork used to win that every year.
Which is so boring. It's when they have those little nets on the ice.
Is there like
hardest shot is fun.
Yeah, Char, because Char used to win it every year.
And then there's the cone thing where you got the obstacle course.
That's right. That's the NHL's answer to the NBA, let's throw the ball through the hoop skills competition.
Right.
And I think there's a women's 3-on-3 this year.
It's the All-Star game is 3-on-3, right? Didn't they change the rules?
No.
They did.
All-Star.
Yeah, it is.
That, you know what? You're right. It's division versus division, 3-on-3. It used to be 5-on-5.
Okay, and that was I think it was like 2 years ago that they changed
that. Yes, that's right. It shows you how often I've watched it.
Well, nobody watches it. You have every excuse not to know that. So the thing is that I watched a little bit of it, and it was pretty fun to watch. I mean, 3-on-3 is always fun to watch. And it made up for a little bit of just how awful it used to be. It's still not enough to get me to tune in. It's still an All-Star game that I just don't care about. I don't care about really any of the All-Star. The Pro Bowl this weekend, who cares about that? Who cares about... I don't even like baseball's All-Star game.
I like the baseball
I know All-Star people.
Game.
I know a lot of people do, but I still even find that boring.
Yeah, out of all of them, I mean, I'm not like, you know, I sit there for 9 innings, but I mean, of all of them, that's the only one that I care for at all. The only reason I'd watch the Pro Bowl is because Jamal Adams hits.
I know, that is pretty funny.
Like, he doesn't lay up.
Yeah.
Which would infuriate me if I was another player.
And shockingly, I think it's been 2, maybe 3 years straight that the home run derby has been excellent.
Yep.
And I know that when they changed the rules, it got a lot better. But I specifically remember the last two being great. It might even be 3 years that it's been good. But I used to hate the home run derby. And, I mean, unless...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Except I used to tune in just to watch John Kruk crushing chicken wings, which he used to do during the broadcast.
Yeah, that was the little comedic relief. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Oh, we got major drama in the Patriots' land. As a matter of fact, I have a major publication who is going on the record with some big news about Tom Brady.
Oh, I'd like to hear that. Here are the headlines. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What else is going on?
Well, if you ever doubt that the people of New England want Tom Brady to stay, then let me tell you, there was some guy who wrote the word "Stay Tom" in the snow, and that sumbitch went viral as hell. So much so that Tom Brady posted on his Instagram and said, "Love you all," heart emoji, which of course means he's staying. But don't take his word for it.
Yeah, Dan and I think that was on the ice, which... very dangerous right now.
Not there. That's Boston Common, where the ice is basically less than a foot of water.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's like dink right there. I mean, you could if you fall through, your ankle is still dry.
Okay, well, you got a wet foot.
Yeah, so you have a wet foot, which is very, very dangerous. Well, yeah. TMZ caught up with RKK, Robert Kraft. And they said, "Hey, is Tom coming back to New England?" And here you go. Here's the evidence.
Mr. Kraft, how's everything going?
Bob, please.
How's everything going?
Bob, what about Tom?
Tom can stay in New England. Are we going to keep Tom in New England, Bob? All right, Bob, take care, man.
Is that guy, like, barking or speaking? Like, what is that? Hey, Tom, not go to New England. What New England,
Bob? Going
to
New England. Tom going to New England?
It's like you take, like, a caveman and that Kajikaru guy who judges outfits on the red carpet together.
So I'm guessing that...
Brady liked looking at New England.
I'm guessing that these are not employees of TMZ, that they are freelancers.
I don't know. He sounds like a pro.
Mr. Kraft, how's everything going?
Bob, please.
How's everything going? Because I'm guessing the way TMZ does it is that people on their own just go out and...
they call that guy the captain. I don't know, somebody's the captain of industry.
Oh, okay. That's my mistake. I thought you meant the captain.
I kind of did.
That was all my mistake.
Sorry, inside joke.
My mistake.
All right, well, speaking of people moving, Jason Lockett Forum. Sorry, Dan sits into my head. This made me laugh. Jason Lockett Forum, CBS Sports, who has been leaking out rumors and sources regarding Tom Brady's future of the last few weeks, wrote something about the domino effect that he believes Tom Brady leaving New England would cause. And I thought it was kind of interesting. First off, he believes that Brady most likely is going to go to the Chargers. And his justification is the stuff we've heard 1,000 times before. But he says that he has heard from pretty good sources that it holds the highest appeal with him. His trainers, infrastructure already there. His family would be a very short private plane right away. He enjoyed living in Malibu before, holds off-season workouts at USC. He's in Hollywood, where I guess he does want to dip his toe into the producing water. He's already friends with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and all those guys.
Boston guys.
And the other thing is that he'd be in the perfect spot to market his TB12 brand out in Los Angeles.
Glorified spit.
Mm-hmm. But then he talked about the domino effect of what would happen if Tom Brady ended up signing with the Chargers. And this is where it gets interesting. He said he believes that Philip Rivers would sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, that's another thing that came out yesterday. Philip Rivers moved back to Florida, and that just makes sense. Philip Rivers being in Florida and enjoying his life there.
He could join every other family that has 9 kids.
That's true. That's true. Bruce Arians, they say, is quite intrigued by Rivers. Hears great things about him from his old pal Ken Wisenhunt, who used to coach Rivers. And, of course, he would come much cheaper than having to keep Jameis Winston and pay him a lot of money.
Well, that means Jameis Winston comes to the Patriots.
No.
The NFL in interceptions last year.
No, because he continues with the dominoes falling. As for Jameis, they say he would go to the Raiders. They say John Gruden loves to gamble. He likes Derek Carr. Yeah. He obviously doesn't like. He doesn't think he's going to have much of a future there. He wants someone who's more willing to sling it downfield and make big plays.
Winston was one of the first. I think he's the first ever 30-30 guy in NFL history.
You might be right.
30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, same season.
And then
he won a game where he threw like 7 interceptions.
Yeah, he wants a guy who slings it. That's Winston.
So where would Derek Carr go? The Washington Redskins. Now, we know Dan Snyder loves Dwayne Haskins, but Ron Rivera has already publicly hedged his bets on that guy. They say Rivera's first hire, defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio, as we know, he loves Derek Carr, and they went to the playoffs together with Carr, an MVP candidate at the time. Boy, remember that? People were talking about Derek Carr as an MVP.
He got hurt. I remember that.
He did. Yep. So there's that, and here's where it really gets interesting. He says that the domino effect would place in New England the quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. I like this. Still a young pup in his mid-20s, he says, but has gone through life-changing injuries and cleared major hurdles. Outstanding kid with a first-round pedigree and abundant upside. Protects the football, would have a great defense behind him. You need someone with high potential to replace Brady, and Bill Belichick wouldn't want a full rebuild, and they pick too low. Their pick is too low to get like a surefire quarterback in the draft. Obviously, Bridgewater did a great job when Drew Brees was out this season. He's somebody that I think has earned to play and start for a pretty good team. I would love to see what a guy like Bridgewater could do under Bill Belichick. That, to me, out of all the quarterback ideas that have been thrown around instead of just going with Stidham, I think that one is the most interesting theory that's been thrown out there. I wonder if the Saints are going to – I mean, we still don't even know what Drew Brees' deal is at this point, like what they're going to end up doing with him.
I mean, there's a chance, I guess, Brees could retire.
But there's been no talk of that. You know what I mean? You would think that would be the case, but, I mean, how far after – unless they announce it like Super Bowl week where he kind of wants to get the most out of it. I don't know. But it just you would think that you would have heard something at this point about him potentially contemplating retirement. And I haven't heard anything. And when he's not jumping on the hood of cars, he's getting his shoulder sliced open. According to our friend Mike Giardi, Julian Edelman underwent shoulder surgery last week. The surgery reportedly would come with a quick rehab, and Edelman most likely won't miss any of the Patriots offseason workouts. On top of that, do you remember that scene in the Belichick-Saban documentary that just came out where Bill said how much he hates his ex-coaches and that leave and poach his staff on their way out?
Yeah.
Well, he's got to love that his old special teams coach, Joe Judge, just stole his defensive line coach. Is it Brent Bielema?
Bielema.
Okay. Well, he's going to be moving to New York to work with the Giants as well. So the poaching continues.
Well, when you mentor the guys, you're going to get the surprise.
Mm-hmm. That's
well put.
What the shirt says.
Yep. When you mentor the guys, you're going to get the surprise when they hit the friendly skies to get to their new gig.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's coming up, Rich?
All right. Let's get to this major publication who has massive news on Tom
this
Brady.
Is very rare. There's an actual publication on the table.
Yep. I have sitting in front of me something that you could buy at a newsstand.
Yes. This is not a computer. This is a actual magazine. It looks like a magazine that might come to my house. All right, so we'll have that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Tony at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
You know it's a big deal when something you get right off the newsstand has put it in writing, the cover of this week's Life and Style magazine.
It's a big, get that.
It's a big story when it pushes Megxit Mania up to the wayside over here to the left.
We get that in the mail.
That's right. Not the story about Cameron Diaz, her 5-year struggle to have a baby. I believe that she is married to one of those douchebags from Good Charlotte.
No, you believe she's
really
married to Benji.
Okay, all right.
And she's very old to be having a child. Very, very dangerous.
Well, she has one now, and apparently the baby is healthy, according to the little flipping I did through that. By the way, celebrities just like us. I wanted you to know that.
They pump their own gas?
They do pump their own gas. So the front cover of Life and Style magazine is the $600 million divorce nightmare. It's got Giselle and Tom Brady, both with very stern faces. You can tell that they was taken at the same time. Giselle dumps Tom. Fights lies in separate bedrooms. Nothing he did was ever good enough, and why she hated their Massachusetts mansion. Well, it's because everyone's angry in Brooklyn. So here is a little...
Probably a lot of people on their lawn.
Yeah, probably.
There's probably a lot of noise from the Stop and Shop.
He said, all right, it's over, according to the Life and Style magazine. It's over between Tom and Giselle. They've had a long, good run, but they've grown apart. A big part of the problem? For years, Gisele has been begging Tom to retire, but although his contract with the Patriots is now up, the athlete says it's unlikely he'll step away from the field. So a disappointed Gisele would be looking at least another year of sleeping in separate bedrooms.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now,
does he have a CPAP machine?
Well, no, because I won't wear that particular CPAP machine, so I'm sleeping upstairs. And I'll tell you what, it's awful being in a bed by yourself
and just getting a good night's rest.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Gisele puts up with his training and game schedule, but she hates that he's away from home so much and always demands that he fly home as soon as he can to be a husband and a father. Well, I mean, he flies home with the team. That's as soon as you can. He's not like screw it around. I don't understand how you can fly home any sooner.
Maybe when he's training.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the case. Lately, things have been going from bad to worse, it says. They've been having some nasty blowout fights, says the source. One was after Gisele told Tom that a psychic told her to leave him. Psychics can't do anybody any good. Like, things never end well when you're with a psychic. Yeah,
when I'm with a psychic, that's always been positive news. They've always said good things are going to happen.
I just remember the one time that our wives like went to those psychics and gave everybody bad news.
Well, one of the friends of my wife came out sobbing, but she comes out sobbing out of everything.
I see.
I think she sobs every time.
She's a sobber.
She's everything, and every time she talks to my wife on the phone, she's sobbing about something. Shut up.
Says there are also signs that they're ready to move on. In early January, they slashed the asking price for their Massachusetts mansion by nearly $6 million. Gisele hates living there. She thinks it's tacky and wants to live in L.A., but Tom doesn't, says the source. Right.
L.A.'s not tacky at all.
No, no.
I'm sure it's beautiful.
I mean, it's weird looking from the picture. I mean, whenever you see it on Tom vs. Time, it looks fine. But, I mean, they got this strange, driveway that's elevated. It's like an elevated off-the-ground box.
It's like a corny house, yeah.
So I actually can see that. It says, considering they're worth a combined $600 million and Gisele was the highest, blah, 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 they're saying that the divorce would be very messy and drawn out.
Why are you dismissing that?
Because this is probably the 17th time Life and Style magazine has declared them as getting a divorce.
I'm an avid reader of Life and Style. I'm not being sarcastic, and I have not seen that story before.
Go check the Deflategate era. That was a big one. When they were in Deflategate, all the rumors were that they were divorcing.
How do you know that?
Because it was a big story. I get Life and Style magazine as well.
I don't remember that at all.
No, but I remember it was all over the internet, that story. So
I don't know. I mean, these things hit sometimes. I mean, I wouldn't completely dismiss it.
There's different ways. The Enquirer hits. Life and Style magazine, I mean, how often
do they
hit? You
don't know that.
Well, that they don't hit?
Yeah, you don't. How do you know the track record of Life and Style?
Let's go over the past. I'm just going to Google Life and Style cover.
Okay.
And let's see what predictions that they've made that have not come true or come true.
Okay.
Let's see. Life and Style covers. Let's go to.
Don't cherry pick.
Here we go. Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson. They're back on. They're not. Okay.
How? Well, no. What year was that?
It looks like it was last year. Okay. You got that one wrong.
Well, maybe they were for a brief time.
Yeah. Let's go with Brad's Twisted Double Life.
True. Mm-hmm. So we're one and one.
What was his double life?
Oh, he was all into shenanigans.
Angelina Jolie getting married. That didn't happen.
All right, we're one and two.
Let's see. After that, scrolling on down, you have just a bunch of hunks. Hunk one, hunk two.
Who described the bodies?
They're the best. There's a whole lot of, Bradley, my life is a single dad, playdates, tears, and dating again. Hunk.
Well, see, Bradley, you know, might have sat down with the publication.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kaya Gerber and Pete Davidson eloping after 2 months. That didn't happen.
Well, all right.
Dismissed.
But there was that one hit.
Mm-hmm. They could have. They
was
could
that
have
one hit.
They could have been eloping. Who knows?
Brad, in love with Margot Robbie.
You don't know if that's true.
No, he's back with Jennifer Aniston. You know it's.
How long ago was that?
That thing?
Yeah.
August of last year.
Yeah, so maybe he was in love with Margot Robbie.
It could have been. I'll give you that much.
I mean, we don't know if he was in love with her or not. Hmm.
My 7 years of hell, Jessica Biel. Like, I'm supposed to believe that. You were the biggest hunk of all the hunks. You were the entertainer hunk number one.
Well, Jessica Biel, you know, has made public statements regarding that.
Yeah, he was. There was a picture of him holding hands with somebody, yep. Which would be the end of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Can't be doing that.
Nope, you cannot.
Did that in New Orleans.
No, you
can't. So anyway, chances are it's not true, but who knows? That might be what's going through the Hollywood grapevine. I mean, we know she wants him to retire. We know that she's concerned about the concussions. Perhaps she does want to leave here. But, I mean, here's what we know. We know that she doesn't want to play football. We all agree on that, right?
Well, she has said that.
Right. Yep. So we know that she's deathly afraid of the concussions. So I could see that. And then,
okay, I'm sorry. I'm just noticing something. As neither is a stranger to controversy. And it's got, at the beginning, you know, it's got five different examples. And the first one is Tom leaving Bridget Moynihan. The second one is called Breast Intentions. Following the birth of son Benjamin in 2009, irked a lot of new moms who declared there should be a worldwide law that mothers breastfeed their babies for 6 months. She later backtracked, but the damage was done. And then there was another one.
I mean, these things happen.
Yep. Deflategate drama. But the last one, this is ridiculous. Puckering up. Tom left fans divided when he smooched son Jack, then 11, on the lips from a scene from his 2018 Facebook documentary, Tom vs. Time. The kiss followed an eyebrow-raising lip lock with his own father at the 2017 Super Bowl. So that's part of the controversy that he gave
that
his
son. That was a minor controversy.
It was.
I mean, listen, I would not dismiss that completely. I mean, we don't know what's going on in their relationship. It could be pissing her off that he's playing again. I mean, he's always got Guerrero around, rubbing him up and stuff. She probably thinks that's weird.
Now, that part of it's weird. I don't think that's mentioned in here, though.
No. They don't know enough. But, I mean, you got Guerrero rubbing his hands. You got him, like, you know, doing all this weird crap all the time.
I just want to know how celebrities are just like us. What do they got this week? Ooh, wow, that one Kardashian got fat. The guy.
Yeah, Rob. Kardashian isn't having a good time.
It's all been downhill since Dancing with the Stars for him.
Oh, no shirt, no problem, Andy Cohen. He's a hunk.
Yeah, Andy Cohen's not afraid. All right, very good. Neither is Anderson Cooper. Those two are best bros. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, you can say what you will, but I mean, InStyle magazine is whatever. But we shall see. We shall see. It doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility, but who knows? I mean, these are the rumors that swell. All right. We will be back. No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll have Ted Johnson in studio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.